Just right now, I'm starting it up.
Testing, testing. March 31st, 1979, talking to Stanley Deo in Manly Hot Springs. Take one.
You get it all, huh?
Well, maybe you could just start with when you were born and who your parents were.
I was born 1913.
1913.
Where was that at?
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Dad, I know somebody else who came from there. Maybe. Huh.
Okay, do you know anything about place, like?
Well, I lived there till I was about 17 years old, then moved to Washington, and it was lots of logging around in sawmill town, and in paper mills. There's three big paper mills there, and quite a few sawmills, small sawmills. And there was a few factories, you know, and mostly a lot of farming around there too, you know. But the town at that time was about 12,000 population. The town was on a Wisconsin River.
How far is that from the closest big city?
Well, Milwaukee is the closest big city. It's about 150 miles. It's north.
Stevens Point, north of Milwaukee.
North of Milwaukee.
What were the, what would you say most people did then?
Well, there was a lot of guys worked in the woods, you know, and then worked in the paper mills, and then there was a little farming around there, and worked in the sawmills, and
what did your parents do?
Pardon?
Your parents, what did they do?
Well, my dad, he worked in a lumber yard. He was running a little lumber yard there. That is, he was a boss.
So he didn't work in the woods around there then?
Well, in his younger days he did, but not when I was growing up. He worked in this lumber yard.
Did he grow up right there in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Huh. There weren't too many people. I don't know, Wisconsin, that's kind of a new state too.
Yeah, it's not too, I forget when it come into Union.
It was about the middle of 1800s, you know, 1860, 1850, something like that. What did you do there then?
Well, I went up to about the seventh grade. I went that's as far as I went to school, and then I worked on a farm, you know, and cut wood and stuff like that, you know. I'd go out, and that's what all there was to do for a kid them days, you know.
Did you have a big family?
Yeah, there was nine in our family, and brothers, three sisters, and six brothers. They all worked in the woods too, my brothers, you know, and that's it was quite a bit of loggers, quite a few loggers around there at that time.
Where were you? Were you the oldest one?
I was the youngest.
Youngest?
Yeah.
Youngest one in the whole family?
Eight of them to pick on. No,
yeah. Oh, they were all, most of them pulled out by the time I got on their own, you know.
Well, what kind of, you know, like, how would you describe, say, the house you grew up in and the kind of things you did to play when you were a younger kid?
Well, my dad had his own home, you know, and then we lived right on the Wisconsin River, which is quite a big river, you know, and in the summertime, you know, we'd fishing, and there was lots of fishing around there, you know, lakes and creeks and the river, and we all had boats, and and swimming, and then in the winter, was skating and skiing. That was our big, as kids would run around and do a little trapping muskrats and mink and stuff like that. There was a lot of that stuff around. in pretty good hunting around there then, you know, like in the fall of the year, ducks and a lot of birds like grouse, partridges, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and prairie chickens and a lot of rabbits and squirrels, you know, gray squirrels and fox squirrels. And of course, there's quite a few deer up out in the old logging works and that above from where we lived, you know, in hunting season. People would get them, you know. But there was quite a few, quite a bit of trapping, like muskrats. There was a lot of muskrats, you know, and it was real good fishing, you know, when I was a kid there, real good fishing, like pike and bluegills and all that stuff, crappie and muskies and perch and bullheads.
Steelhead.
The muskrat hunting you did or trapping, was that a lot like the way they do it up here?
Or? Yeah, the same. They never shot them, you know. We trapped them all the time, trapped them.
What time of the year would you be trapping?
Pardon?
Would you trap all winter? Or
yeah, they trap in the fall, and they start late in the fall, you know, and then they trap in the winter. And
so did you do a lot of similar things that, you know, as people can do in Alaska, say?
Well, like skiing and all that stuff, you know, what you do up here and skating, you know, we've done a lot of that, you know, and then in the summer, we do a lot of boating, you know, all the kids, you know.
What'd you use for power in your boat?
We had no power them days. We had oars and paddles. No kid had a engine them days. If you went any place, you walked or you took a boat. That's a fact.
What kind of boats were they?
Well, I had canoes and skiffs and rowboats, you know. And
were those boats that you'd make or
your friends? Yeah, we'd make, the older people would make them, you know, and then a lot of them would buy. There's a lot of them old town canoes, you know, there's a lot of them. You know, they're made over in Maine, you know, and people make their own boats. There's a lot of good boat builders, you know. My old man, he made a couple of boats for his kids there when we were growing up, you know.
How long would those boats be?
Oh, they're all sizes, you know. A lot of scow types, you know, with the square nose, you know, all the way from 12, 14, 16 feet long, you know.
Make them out of lumber?
Yeah, most of them out of lumber. There's very few metal boats, you know. In outboards, they just had, you know, there was a few outboards and that around. People had them, you know, but them old Evinrudes, you know, you're just cranking on them most of the time.
What do they call them? Three-horse or five-horse Johnsons?
Well, they were small. They had not much horsepower. They were just a little bit better than when you got them running than a pair of oars. That's about all. But there was quite a few inboards, you know. People went for inboards, and they were pretty reliable.
Well, when you folks would play in would go out in the boats, would you be catching fish or just playing and having
fun? Oh, yeah, we'd go all day. We'd just take our fish bowls and something to eat, you know, and we'd go up the river and fish all day, come home with a whole sack full of fish, you know. Where we'd take off, go across, walking from one creek to another, and lakes, we knew where all of them were, you know, and we'd fish them. And
you could just go anywhere, there are no fences or anything?
Oh, go any place. People never bother you. There's the farmers around, but nobody bothered you then, you know. There wasn't like nowadays, you know, they didn't bother a kid very much them days.
Did you generally go out with your brothers or?
Oh, yeah, but we'd go out by ourselves. A bunch of us kids would get together, you know, two, three of us or four, you know, and we'd go fishing or we'd take off, you know. And same way we'd hunt, you know, when we got older, had this 22s or something, rabbits, you know, go after rabbits and go out and hunt around. And
Like, how old would you be when you go out doing that?
Oh, I was all the way from about 12 years old, we'd be to 14, 15, 16. You know, we'd go with a lot of times at older boys, you know, men, you know, sometimes, but two, three of us, we'd go with their father or uncles or something, you know, when we were younger, you know, and we do that a lot, like on Sundays and that, when we had our days off from school, Saturdays.
It sounds pretty nice. Yeah.
Did you have chores you had to do around home?
Oh, yeah, we had our chores. You know, I didn't, we lived in this little town. We didn't have too many, like, chores, but we had, like, wood. I had to get wood and then water. We had no running water, nothing like that. You know, we had wells outside and stuff like that, you know.
So is that your job to get all the water?
Yeah, we have to do that, you know.
How did they decide in your family who was going to do what?
Well, there was no, when I was growing up, everybody had, there's what few chores we had, we would have done them, you know, and you better do them too. They wasn't like nowadays.
Were your folks pretty strict with you?
Oh, yeah, we had to mind, you know, when they told us something, we had to do it. And that wasn't, I'll mind think about it or do it later. You wouldn't have done it.
What would happen if you didn't?
Well, you know what happened. No better.
Well, what was the school like that you went to?
I went to, it was a grade school, grant school, was the name of the last school I went to.
Was it a pretty big school?
Yeah, there was quite a few, kids in there. It went from the first grade to the seventh. There was about, well, this teacher taught two grades, sixth and the seventh, if I remember right. And there was about 50 of us, I guess, in the school.
Did all you guys give a teacher a hard time?
Oh, well, he's no better than there's quite a few renegades, you know. We used to play a lot of baseball and football and stuff like that, you know, and was going to school, you know, out in a school ground, you know, and then we used to do it too, you know. We all had our teams, you know, and it was getting bigger, you know.
Did you like school?
Well, I couldn't say I did know, to be honest about it.
Did you want to be doing something else instead of going to school?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I wanted to get out and kind of rambunctious, wanted to do something on my own. Like, we get out, work, you know, and make a few dollars. It's hard to make money them days, you know. A kid didn't... That's where we'd make a little spending money, get out, catch a few muskrats, you know, and stuff like that, and cut cord with $1.25 a cord with no chainsaw either, with a bucking saw cross cut. And the wood wasn't very plentiful either.
So how would you haul the wood?
Oh, we'd cut it for some farmers or somebody like that, had the timber, you know, and then cut it for them, and then they'd haul it. They had horses, you know. There's people made it a regular business them days, you know, hauling wood, selling wood, you know. People used there's no oil or nothing like that then. When I was a kid, it was all wood and coal, you know.
Most people use wood or most people use coal?
Mostly wood where I was. There was a lot of coal used, but mostly wood. There was a lot of wood around there, you know. Every rancher, you know, farmer had his own wood yard, you know, had a lot of wood, you know. And then those old logging works, you know, too, they didn't.
Was $1.25 what everybody got paid? Or just...
Yeah, that was the running. That anybody cut wood, that's... You had a job cutting wood, that's what you got. $1.25, $1.50, something like that. No more.
Yeah, I thought $6 a cord is cheap.
Anything a cord is cheap. Yeah.
Well, they'd work in the woods, the loggers working in the woods, $1 a day, $30 a month, and their keep, of course, their board.
What were prices like then?
Well, prices were pretty, was cheap, you know. A lot of stuff was cheap, like clothes, and, well, I can remember eggs, you know, 8 cents a dozen and like that, you know, and...
Well, those were Depression years, weren't they?
No, this is before the Depression. Then the Depression was about the same, you know. There was a time in there that things was pretty good before the 30s, when in 29, when the Depression. I remember that. I was just growing up, and you couldn't hardly get a job then. I was about 17, 18 then. I don't know, 18, I guess. That's when we moved to... Washington, and I moved around the country all over looking for some work.
Was it your whole family that moved?
No, just, yeah.
Why'd you pick Washington?
Oh, well, I stayed in there. I liked the state of Washington. It was a nice state.
Did you know somebody there?
Oh, I stayed. I lived with my oldest brother for several years, and me and this, another brother of mine lived together, too. We had our place, little place.
Where'd you go in Washington?
We was in a, when we settled there, we was in a little town called Marble Mount.
Is that the eastern Washington?
No, western. Oh, that's so on the coast, yeah.
It's over on the rainy side.
Yeah, Cascade across the...
So how old were you then?
18.
Before we get into that, Donna, a couple more questions in back. So, this school that you went to up to seventh grade, were there other schools around there?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of schools.
So you guys have
That was the closest school to where we lived, and that's the way, you know. Oh, excuse me. Kids went to where I'd say there was a high school and about. There was another school, a Catholic school right next there, not too far away. And in the whole town, I think there was about 6-7 schools at that time, right in this town.
So, you could have teams and stuff, or you played at people from other schools, or you'd ever have any things going with other people from other schools?
Well, you know, like basketball, and then we all had our teams, you know, our ball teams and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Well, what would people do after they finished seventh grade? That's as far as the school.
Well, a lot of them continued, went to high school, you know, eighth grade, and then went to high school, and I wanted to get out and work. And I didn't want to go to school. There was a lot of us that didn't, you know. I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, from what I hear, you know, talking to like my dad and everything, because he's right around then too, is that that's pretty common, you know. That's what people did.
Mm-hmm. It was, you know, at that time, you know, especially I didn't have to really get out and work because dad was making plenty of money, you know, that we, but then a lot of them around there had younger kids, you know, and they had to get out and help the family, you know. It is hard there. See, my dad, he wasn't making much money. Even he was a boss in that yard. He was only, he had about 3-4 guys, I guess, and he had to work alongside with them, too. And he was only making 3.5 a day, and that was 10 hours a day, too, 6 days a week.
Was that before unions there?
Oh, there was no union, you know, around there then. Not there, anyway. There was no unions. Well, there was no big money anywhere around them days, you know. There, you know, some jobs, of course, paid more, you know that, but...
What was the best kind of a job the guy could get in that town right there?
Well, there was different jobs. I don't know, didn't pay too much attention. Then, you know, like guys just worked around in paper mills and stuff. Like the head sawyers and that in a sawmill, they made big money. You know, that was big money. My uncle was one. He got $1 an hour, and they thought that was real big money for them days. In some of the sawmill rights and stuff, they made more money, you know. There was.
So what did your parents think about you wanting to take off from school? Did they say anything?
Well, I quit school pretty young, you know, and I worked around there and that. Well, they rebelled. They wanted me to go to school, but figured I could do better by you.
Did you just quit? Did you just tell him I quit, or did you kind of pretend you're going?
No, I just quit.
Well, did you get letters and things from your brothers who were gone and family who was gone?
Oh, I never corresponded with my brothers. We never did. See, all my older brothers, they pulled out, you know. They were all gone on their own. Towards last, well, they'd come home now and then, but they'd be working in the woods probably all winter or something. And I got another sister. She's 2 years older. We were the last ones to leave, 2 years older than I was.
So where did all these brothers go to?
Oh, they scattered all over the country.
One end to the other.
Yeah, one was in Washington. There's all around. And
mostly in northern states, though?
Yeah, some of them stayed in Wisconsin, but moved over northern Wisconsin and places, some Minnesota, and moved around, you know. They just went wherever the work was them days, you know. They'd go work in the woods and...
Do you remember anything about the unions coming into Wisconsin and the logging places?
Well, the unions that first come in, I can remember when I was a kid, it was the old IWWs, you know. They call them IWWs. There was the Industrial Workers of the World is what they were, you know. They were the ones that started bringing the unions, you know, getting going for conditions and... higher wages and stuff like that, better living. And
was there any kind of fights about that in that town that you lived in?
Well, they were bucking, you know, the working man and the mill owners and that. They were bucking them too, you know, and strikes. And
did that help out anything?
Well, yeah, they're the ones that started getting conditions, you know. Conditions in the camps them days were pretty poor, you know, real poor in them logging camps. They had big bunkhouses, 200-300 men living in one bunkhouse and no showers or nothing like that, you know, and that's what they were bucking for, better conditions. And all the camps is lousy.
Yeah. Well, you hear about that.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to any one of those logging camps?
Well, as a kid, yeah, I was in them, you know, but we'd go out and cut logs and that for different guys, you know. Me and my uncle had some land there, a ranch, some timber, and we'd go and had horses, and we'd go and cut it ourselves, you know, and haul it to the sawmill and sell it, you know. I don't know what, didn't get much, $7-$8 a thousand or something like that them days for 1,000 feet of pine.
That's feet of logs?
Yes, logs, yeah. Saw logs.
Feet of logs?
Yeah, that's all you got them days. There was no big money, yeah.
But a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Well, were you bigger than most of the kids your age?
Well, when I was 14, 15 years old, I happened to be one of the, just as big, I guess, as I am now, you know, not tall and...
You know, because my brother was like that.
That's what I could go out when I was 17, 18 years old, you know. I could go out and work, get a job with men, you know, when I was 18, 19, you know. That was...
Did you ever lie about your age so you could work, or did they just...
No, I never had to. Never had to. They wasn't too strict them days, you know. When you went to work, they asked you how old you was, and you told them, and if you looked big, that's all that mattered. They just wanted some help. They didn't care.
Most of the guys you work with are big, too?
Well, a lot of them would be grown men, you know, men in their 20s, you know, late 20s or older, you know.
So, what was the first job that you had aside from cutting cordwood for somebody?
Oh, well, all the jobs I ever had was worked in the woods, cutting logs and falling, you know, till I come up here, you know. And I trapped out there, too. I trapped up in the Cascades a couple of winters, Martin.
What was that like?
Well, that was all right. There was a lot of Martin, but it was tough trapping, you know, on them hills, you know, up and down. And I worked for I worked out there, then we worked for the Forest Service on the trails and with pack horses and stuff like that. Worked in the woods, you know, and that was the only work there was. And there was lots of that, you know, that's the only work there was up in that country.
So how would you trap for Martin?
Pardon?
How would you trap for Martin?
Well, they're the same as you do here. Up there, though, see, you had lots of snow up in that country. It is snow, nothing to have 15, 20 feet of snow up high. And we'd make all pole sets, set our traps on poles, you know, to get out of the snow and under these big fir trees, you know, or cedars, you know. And then you'd be raising them up as it'd snow 4 or 5 feet some nights, you know.
Did you used to walk?
Yeah, the only way you had to walk. No snowshoes, no dogs, and that. We'd take our stuff in with pack horses before the snow would come in the fall, you know, and leave it at certain cabins, and then you'd go in there when the fur would be prime, and then you'd start trapping. But you'd only trap there about 6-7 weeks, that's all. In that high, rough country, that you had to get out of there, and it would start thawing, snow slides and all that, you know. And you didn't stay, you know, it's when it started breaking up, you know. And
Well, how many Martin would a guy get up there?
Well, you could do pretty good. Me and another kid, we was just about 18 years old that time. We was out there. We was out about 4 or 5 weeks. We caught 68, and there was a lot of Martin you could, and we didn't work on it very hard either.
At that time, using all traps?
Just, yeah, number aught, number one. That's all you need for Martin, you know. Caught a wild catch, you know, and stuff like that, too.
You ever use deadfalls for them?
No, never have. Never had to. There's had lots of traps.
How many traps would you put out?
Oh, we had a couple. We had quite a line. We must have had a couple of 100 traps anyway, 200, 200-300, I know. We had quite a few.
How long was the line?
Oh, I'd say we must have had, between the two of us that time, we probably had about, 50, 60 miles. I guess we had that much. But it wasn't in one straight line, you know. We have a cam, we'd go up one creek, 10, 12 miles this way and up another, and that's the way we trapped there.
Were those cabins already there?
Yeah, me and him built a couple, but we stayed in the Forest Service cabins. Forest Service had a lot of cabins around. They'd let you stay in them. You'd have to, I think it was $5 a year for winter for renting one of them. They charge you something like that. But everything was in them, you know, cooking utensils and stoves. But we had to have a lot of our own stuff, you know, bedding and all that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good deal, huh?
Yeah, they were pretty good them days, huh? They didn't, they let you, you know, and people took pretty much care of them, you know, the guys that went out, you know, they took good care of the cabins and everything.
Did you meet many other trappers then?
No, there wasn't too many trappers. It was tough. There was trappers scattered around, but me and this kid, we were the only ones for miles around where we were.
So there's no problem with running into somebody else's?
No, house. No, there was no. We trapped right up to the Canadian line, to the boundary. And then there was a lot of trappers, Canadian trappers on the other side. But then the closest trapper to where we were was about, there was another guy. We was on what they call Big Beaver Creek. Guy by the name of Herman Rohde. He was about 15 miles away from us. He was the closest guy.
This other guy you were trapping with, did he ever trap before?
No, he done a little trapping down along the river like we did, you know. Mink and a few wildcats and stuff like that.
Just weekends.
Down around the Skagit River, yeah.
Just on the weekend?
Yeah, it's, you know. And
so, did you guys do anything? Did you ever mess up?
No, we never fouled up, no way. We both of us spent a lot of time in the woods, you know. He was raised in the woods himself, you know, and of course I spent lots of time there. And even in Wisconsin, we lived in the woods all the time, you might say, you know, running around. I knew the ropes pretty good.
You never run out of food?
No, we had lots of food. And there was lots of game, if you lots of deer and
so, did you like trapping?
Oh, yeah. I like trapping. I done that printed all my life. You know, up here till just a few years, I kind of slacked off as my living.
Well, what would you do then? You trap about 6 weeks and then you go into town?
Well, we'd come out of the hills, come back down in the valley, you know, and try to hang around or try to get work in the woods or something, you know, or some road job or whatever. Or the Forest Service, or
what did you do with the Forest Service?
Well, they're cutting trails and stuff like that.
What's cutting a trail mean?
Well, they'd be building trails all over, fire trails, you know, new place and putting up lookout stations, and then they had regular guys around these smoke chasers. My oldest brother, he had a station for years by himself, you know, and this other fella I was with, he was a packer for the Forest Service. He packed for them all summer at the pack train. And they have these crews all over the country, and he'd haul out their supplies, pack them out their horses. That's all there was. There was no roads around in there then, you know.
So when you come into town to sell your fur, is that a time to kind of celebrate a little bit?
Oh, well, the people them days, a little celebration.
I mean, how did they celebrate anyway?
Oh, they didn't. There wasn't like now where, you know, you're going taverns and bars and that. Them days, there's prohibition days. You went to town and enjoyed yourself, you know, different things.
What kind of things would you do to enjoy yourself?
Well, there was nothing much to do, you know, if you wanted to have dances around, so if you wanted to go to dances or pool halls or stuff like that, or that's the shows, that was about all. You know, different things you could do, you know.
Did you do those kind of things?
Oh, yeah, we'd fool around a few days, but we wouldn't hang around long, we'd come back home, you know, out in the ranches and stay out there.
Did you have your own place then, where you were living?
Yeah, I had a. Well, it was belonged, but I had a cabin belonged to me on my brother's place. We stayed there all the time. Me and another brother.
What'd that cabin look like?
Oh, it's just a cabin made out of shakes, you know, out of cedar, stick cedar and logs? Yeah, and split it, make shingles, shakes.
Shakes over the outside?
Yeah, just frame it in, you know, and then it don't get cold in that country. You don't need a very warm cabin, you know.
So it would just be frame building with shakes.
That's all it'd be. That's all. Yeah, just build it. But you could build a, huh? We never, no insulation or nothing like that. You fixed it pretty good inside, you know. You'd floors and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Got lumber.
What kind of stove are you using?
All you need is just a heater, you know. And we cooked on wood. Of course, had a little range, you know, and. Airtight heater, like the Yukon type of a stove or something like that. You know, you didn't take much of a stove to. You could heat a place this big with a cook stove, you know. You'd get a few little cold weather, but never mounted to much, you know.
Right.
You didn't need much of a.
Hardly get snow to stick there. I guess. Huh? You hardly have any snow right there.
Well, sometimes in the valleys, I've seen a few, no snow at all. It rain off, snow a little bit and rain off. And then I've seen a few years that you'd get a couple of feet. But it don't last long, you know. Rain would come and sometimes it would hang on and then wash it off, you know. Washington, where it rained a lot, you know. But up in the hills, you didn't have to get too high to snow all the time, you know. The rain would be snow, you know, and it'd be rain in the valleys, it'd be snow.
Hmm. How did you like living there?
Well, I liked it fine. It was a nice country to live in.
So that was probably about 31, 32?
Yeah, 32, 33. It was an easy country to live in. You could you could raise anything, you know, easy, good land like spuds and carrots and any kind of rutabagas and cabbages and beans and all that stuff. It growed good, you know. And all the stump branches, we call them, is planting mostly between the stumps and big trees, the stumps that was logged off, that logged overland. They'd have chickens, you know, and they'd have a few cows, and they'd have a few pigs, and they'd knock them on the head, you know, whenever they wanted the meat. And there was a lot of fish come up that we lived in, right off the Skagit River, and there's a lot of salmon used to come up there and spawn, you know. There'd be salmon coming up there all times of the year, you know.
So any fish and salmon there?
We'd go and use fish steelhead, but use gaff hooks. Put a big hook on a pole, you know, and gaff them, catch them on the riffles and gaff them.
You can do that.
Oh, you could go anytime you wanted and get them, you know.
There's no game laws or anything?
Yeah, there was game laws, but nobody paid much attention to them. They didn't bother you. Up there, there was one game warden, and that was all. He from Mount Vernon. He used to come around now and then. And
you ever have any run-ins with him?
No.
He never caught you.
No, never. Oh, they were tough on them game wardens, them guys around there too. Boy, they had to watch themselves. There's some game warden didn't go around making too many pinches.
Well, what would happen to the game wardens?
Just didn't like them, didn't want them around.
Well, when you were there, right now it's pretty different, that country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I left there, in 33, then I went back there 3 years ago. I was gone from there around 40-some years. Boy, there was a real change.
What was the thing you noticed most about?
Well, there's more people around, and then there was all kinds of timber, and that was all logged off, and in the valleys, you know, they were logging in the valleys, and it was way up on the hillsides and all over logging.
So it grew back, or there was more gone? When you visited this last time, did timber grow back, or was it just all?
Well, they had a lot of it logged off, you know, that virgin timber, that big stuff, you know, but they were logging again since before that, they'd done a lot of logging for cedar and stuff like that. And then the second growth come in, you know, like alder and maple, and then the second growth, of course, cedar and fir. And they were logging that, you know, and way up in them hills or in what places that they logged and went through, you know, that all growed up. They'd go in them, they logged that again since I was out there, you know. I see where different places where they used to log when I was there, they were in there logging again, see roads all over, you know, or with trucks, you know.
So when you were there in the 30s, did you think it might change to be like it was when you went back?
Oh, I knew it changed. You know what I mean? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, like in the 30s, could you see anything that would make you think it was going to change a lot?
Well, I never figured it would change as much as it did, you know. But the logging and everything's different now than when we were there, you know. They just took the big stuff them days, you know, big timber, you know. Now they take everything, you know, up to 4 or 5 inches because they got different sawmills, you know, them stud mills that cut nothing but 2x4s and 2x6s, and then they chip all that, knock the bark off. They got rigs, and they make chips, you know, and send it to the paper mills, make paper out of it, and they take everything now, you know. Them days, that stuff like that, they never even looked at it. They never even, and it was different logging. It was all steam, high leads when I was there. They start bringing cats in then, you know, and it just started about the time I left there, you know. And, of course, now it's all a lot of cat logging, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cats and these rubber tire skidders and everything. It's all different. They still use high leads, but nothing like in places, but nothing like when that's all the only logging they done them days.
What's a high lead look like?
Well, that's the spar trees, you know, and you put your blocks up in there and drag it all to the landing and then load it on cars, you know, on logging trucks.
How long a cable might they have off?
Oh, they'd take quite an area. They'd go a half a mile or more around the tree, you know. They'd go up there a couple hundred feet spar tree and guy it. And nowadays, they got these portable gin poles. You can, in a couple of hours, they're logging. They run them up, you know, in guidelines. Everything's all hooked up, you know, to a, it's a cat. They're mounted right on cats. You've probably seen pictures of them, you know, on trucks and that.
Mm-hmm.
And they got these loaders. One guy does a load, and they build roads, and they go right into the timber with the logging trucks, you know. They don't skid it far or nothing anymore. It's altogether different, easier, and well, it's all still hard work. They never had no chainsaws when I was there. You had to use a crosscut.
Still all big men there, I suppose.
You know, it was hard work. That was the only work there was. It's all people done, you know. In Washington, Idaho, and Oregon, and that's all. If you wasn't a logger, you was nothing, you know. That was the only work there was, you might say.
Well, you know, you always hear stories about logging camps, you know, how everybody's in fights all the time, and there's, you know, all these different kinds of things about logging camps, you know.
Well, a lot of it was, they'd get to town and get beard up, you know, and get fighting and all that, you know, like anybody else. More or less, I guess they were worse than them and that miners. Hard rock miners.
Well, so what'd you do after that, after you left Marblehead? Or whatever that town was.
Well, after...
What was that town? Where was that place?
Well, that was in the 30s, and that was during the Depression years, and things are tough around the country, too.
What kind of things were happening because of the Depression that you could
see? Well, one thing, work was hard to find, real hard, a lot of people unemployed, and if you did get a job, there wasn't much money in it. And there was a whole, if you had a job, you had to produce too, or there was a bunch standing around to take your place.
Wages were real low then?
Yeah, $2 a day and stuff like that.
Do you remember when FDR got in to office? Franklin Roosevelt got in?
Well, when Roosevelt, see, up and in, during Hoover's time, things is tough. But then when Roosevelt got in, things started getting better because he started, got the ball rolling. He, the CC camps and WPA and all that stuff, he started putting people to work. And there wasn't much money but on roads. And he took all these kids out of town, young fellas, you know, and they made these CC camps and took them out there, cutting fire lines and trails in the woods and all that kind of stuff, building roads and planting trees. And they wasn't making much money, but they were feeding them and getting probably a dollar a day. I don't know. I never worked in one of them myself, but things are getting better, you know.
Put this over.